Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, it's blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Welcome back to another episode of The Chase Down, part of the Almighty Baller Radio and Dash Radio. For those tuning in on Dash, I'm once again your host, Justin Rowan, with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez, who is hopefully doing better than the Cavs defense right now.
Yeah, it's not great. We were going to record after the game, but then quickly realized that no need to wait. This one's over. So the Cavs currently trail by 29 points. In case, for whatever reason, this is your source of box scores.
Especially because this will probably be coming up about either late Tuesday or Wednesday morning. So if you're just finding out now, I would recommend alternate sources for Cavs box scores.
Yeah,
if you're going Cavs analysis and all that and commentary, obviously, the Chase Down is the only place you want to go, but box scores, try ESPN.
Yeah, I mean, I learned a long time ago not to tell people how to live their lives.
Why do you do it anyways? You still do it all the time.
Yeah, in this instance, I'm going to tell you, please, just use the internet. This is foolhardy.
Okay, so we started a little bit on it in last week's episode, but obviously, the defense is the that's the main point of focus when you talk about the Cavs right now, is how they're performing defensively. Obviously, many do feel that they have a switch to flip. That's a common sentiment. We've talked about this privately to some extent, and my biggest concern right now is with regards to Tristan Thompson, who is dealing with knee tendonitis. He's clearly not himself physically. But because he's the only center on the team, he kind of has to play. Otherwise, they literally have no one else that plays that position. If Thompson's not himself, I really don't see how this team can get itself to a level defensively that they can overtake the Warriors. Like, to me, it's pretty cut and dry. Like, if Tristan Thompson is not himself physically and he can't switch on to Steph Curry, they are not winning the finals against the Warriors.
No,
and if Golden State's healthy,
yeah. Whatever these mystical tactics Ty Lue has that he can't unveil yet, sure would love to see him. Don't know what the hell that's supposed to mean. Maybe the tactic is that they'll run back on defense with a little more intensity. I don't know.
Well, see, that's actually you kind of, not to cut you off, but also to cut you off.
Yeah, to do not to do exactly what you're about to do.
One of the reasons why I haven't been as concerned about the Cavs defense throughout the season is, at least before, they were a good defensive team in the half court and just historically terrible in transition. So I always figured, okay, well, in the playoffs, the pace slows down naturally. Plus, LeBron is one of the best at controlling the pace. They're going to stay in the half court, and once you get better defensive effort out of the guys, they'll be okay. But even the half court defense has just been awful. I mean, the Spurs game was a combination of Cavs cold shooting as well as poor transition defense, but they're just struggling in every aspect of defense right now.
Yeah, excuse me. Don't lie to the listeners. The Spurs game is a problem, and it was a problem. This sucker is still going on with LeBron walking to the back, so that's good news. Jesus Christ. yeah, I don't know, man. It's so hard to analyze this team. I think I'm going to write something about it soon, just about how this team is infuriating, not just because of the inconsistent effort and stuff, but because they're so impossible to analyze. Like, you want to just say, okay, like, historically, no one with a bottom 10 defense has won the title. But we kind of know that rules don't really apply to the Cavs. So like any of them really. Their differential is never as good as it should be. Their defense is never as good as it should be. Their effort level is terrible. All the advanced metrics, like a lot of them hate Kyrie, like a lot of the plus minus stats. So it's like, well, if we haven't learned that most historical trends don't really apply to this team by now, I don't know when we're gonna.
Yeah, it's really tough because when you look at the season defensive numbers this year, there's two major drop-off points. The first was when J.R. Smith went down. Basically, immediately after that, the defense went on a slide and has been sliding consistently since then. And then the other kind of major drop-off was after Kevin Love went down. And I know the perception is that Kevin Love is a bad defender, but really, it doesn't matter what your favorite metric is. There is no way that you can say that Kevin Love, at least statistically, has been a bad defender this year. Like, I believe he's 12th in defensive real plus minus for power forwards. The team's a lot better defensively when he's on the court. And right now, I mean, Kevin Love isn't moving around as well as he has in the past. J.R. Smith isn't in game shape. So those guys not being 100%... it hurts the team defensively. And when you compound that with Tristan Thompson not being himself, you really have, at least in the regular season, the three most important defensive players for the Cavs not playing defense to the best of their capabilities. Like, that is the biggest drop-off right now, is with those three players, because we know LeBron and Kyrie saved themselves for certain games or playoffs. But those guys were the guys that they were kind of relying on to bring it on a night-to-night basis, and that's just not occurring right now.
Yeah, I've kind of talked a few times about this, how this team is the anti-Boston Celtics, because they don't have any tryhards. Like, zero.
Pretty much.
It's just like Richard Jefferson, like, clearly, like, picks the games he's going to go really hard because he can't, because he's 1,000 years old.
And he's openly said that he doesn't care about the regular season.
Yeah. He's acknowledged that the team doesn't really care that much. LeBron is not a consistent, frenetic energy kind of guy. Channing Frye is a finesse player.
JR, that's a fair way to put it.
Yeah, J.R. Smith certainly has his, he's not always the most focused and locked in, trying to prove to the coach how good he can close out on a corner three. Shumpert inconsistent as well with his effort, and his just general attention,
because if Shumpert was as good defensively as his reputation, that would be fantastic for the Cavs. But
yeah,
in all honesty, he hasn't played consistent or even
Korver's limited
good defense since like the 2015 finals.
Yeah, this team just doesn't really have a lot of guys that are just gonna set the tone. Like, and in the regular seasons, tone setters matter. Like, you need a guy who's going to bother to run someone off a three when, like, maybe you could not do it and hope he just misses. Like, that's a big part of what the Cavs are, is maybe they'll miss.
And I have to wonder what the film sessions really are like, because there are so many instances where it's like, well, and that guy's running to the corner, and we kind of glance over to him, but we're like, ugh.
LeBron is the king of the one step towards the guy before realizing he doesn't want to go after him. Like, he'll do that one lunging step and then be like,
yeah, that looks tiring. Yeah, that's how Bogut got hurt.
Maybe he only shoots like 35%.
LeBron, who knows exactly where certain guys want to catch the ball, he's probably running through his head like, man,
I love
PJ Tucker is a 31% shooter this month. Let's see.
I love the idea of LeBron's encyclopedic knowledge of the NBA and like of everyone's skill sets being used for evil. Being used as an excuse to not try hard.
Well, I mean, that's how my mind works. Like, if I had some sort of genius mind, I would be using it to figure out how to exert the least amount of effort necessary.
50% of my creative energy goes into me trying to do less stuff. So I empathize.
You're basically like Paul Rudd in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, teaching how to surf.
Yeah, you gotta do less. It's fine. Now you're doing too much. Now you're not doing anything.
Now you're just kind of laying there, which the Cavs often do on defense.
Yeah, let's just say that's our. If this podcast is to truly make it, we need to go multimedia. So let's just do a supercut of the Cavs defense set to Paul Rudd teaching Jason Segel how to surf.
And then we can cut to Steph Curry in the All-Star game laying down on the court.
Sure.
Which is basically
he's not doing anything.
That's not even a full step removed from what the Cavs do on a lot of possessions.
Yeah, it can be brutal. I don't know, man. It's one of those things where, you know, you want to panic, but mostly you just want to have fun. Two of the last
that's my thing.
Yeah, two of the last 3 months of this team have been pretty brutal. January was awful. Then February they go 12-1. So you're like, okay, they're hitting their stride. They figured it out. And ever since it's just been awful.
And I think hitting their stride is like the worst thing that can happen for the team, because it's like anytime they go on a good run, they're like, oh, well, now we can go into cruise control. Like,
yeah.
You can just see it kind of go over the team where they're like, well, we really don't have to try. And I'm with you. Like, the most frustrating aspect of it is you come home after work and you're like, all right, well, the Cavs play tonight. This should be fun. And then they just come out as flat as it can be. And even though you know that they do have this switch that they've flipped in the past, which we'll get to how much concern we have with this team this season, but it's just frustrating that you don't get an entertaining game to watch on a lot of nights recently. Like, it just kind of wears on you.
Yeah. I wonder, in kind of a tangent, but I wonder if we're underplaying how tired the Cavs and Warriors both probably are.
That's probably a little fair.
Like, Steve Kerr has talked about how hard it is to go. Like, I remember he talked after the 98 finals, like, he like had said something about how he wasn't sure they would have won again if Michael had stayed, because everyone was just so drained and exhausted.
Yeah.
But then part of me thinks, you know, like, it's not really going to ever show with LeBron, but maybe it's showing with, you know, Kyrie. I obviously didn't play in that more than one game in the finals 2 years ago, but wonder if he's getting a little worn down. And look at Tristan, man.
And
Tristan needs a week off.
He really does.
Like, these guys are tired, and they have the general benefit of the confidence knowing that they don't really need to work that hard. But that mentality kind of only works if it's mostly just LeBron taking some plays off here and there.
Like, yeah, Tristan needs like a maple syrup bath or something like that. Like,
yeah.
And Kyrie and Tristan, don't forget, they both played for their countries too. Like,
yeah.
Kyrie legitimately like played longer than Thompson did because Canada didn't make past the qualifiers. But those are added games on top of a long season. And for Kyrie, who was coming off of surgery, he really didn't get his legs until basically April of last year. So. Yeah. That was a grueling process, and it's possible that there's some compounding fatigue there with them.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely possible. And what you hope is that sorry about the coughing. I've been a little under the weather this week. I bitched about that last week, so I should probably stop. I'm not better yet. You know, you just hope that the time off in between playoff series, assuming the Cavaliers can figure it out and get some quick series wins, can go a long way. But, you know, I don't know how restful days off in the playoffs are as compared to regular season stretches where you're off, because, like, I'm sure these guys are practicing like crazy.
Yeah, you're probably right. And that's where my concern comes in. I do believe that there is another gear in terms of effort that this team can get to. I think that's pretty clear that they can try harder than they are right now. But as I said before, if Thompson's limited, this team doesn't have a lot of continuity together. There's a lot of new pieces that they're working in. I don't think they're going to get those four-game series, the first two rounds, that's going to give them that week off. I think they're they're in for a little bit tougher of a ride just because there is going to be an adjustment period here. And especially
they
like
and they're not going to be the one seed potentially. Not saying they yeah, I phrased that wrong. Don't act like I'm panicking, jerks. But like there's a real chance they're the two seed and have to play Paul George in the first round. That's a lot. That's a lot more work than the Pistons last year.
Well, I think the most likely scenario, if they drop to two, there's going to be a really funny scenario, especially with Paul Millsap out. The Hawks are definitely dropping to seven or lower, but if the Hawks drop to seven,
you think that would be the Hawks are definitely dropping to seven?
I think they're definitely dropping. They've lost seven straight games. They're
I didn't realize they were tied with the Bucks and Pacers. Jesus.
Yeah.
Just looking at the schedule.
And Millsap's probably out for the rest of the regular season here. So that would be
good news.
That would be exactly what the Cavs need is like you avoid Milwaukee, you avoid Indiana first round, you get the Hawks. It's like your ultimate confidence booster. And you just know Atlanta's walking into it like, ugh, the Cavs again.
That is like a child going to a school knowing that his bully is going to be there to beat his ass again. It's just like... You
just know that they're going to get many open threes.
Those poor guys have to be so freaking shell-shocked at this point against the Cavaliers. Like, it is mean-spirited to make them play them again in the playoffs.
I feel bad about it because that's a pretty good team. Like, not necessarily this year, but like the last few years. And they've just kind of been a laughingstock just because they're such a bad matchup against the Cavs. And if Millsap is either out or limited, there really isn't a... Like, that is the best case scenario. Like, I think... I would rather avoid Toronto if I can. So if Toronto's staying in the four and the Cavs drop to the two and play Atlanta first round, that's ideal. Like, that's as good as it gets. It's kind of funny because we talked about the Bucks as a sneaky playoff team last week, but it's looking more and more likely that they might end up with the fifth seed. And if they play Toronto first round and Kyle Lowry's coming back from surgery on a shooting hand, and then let's say they play Boston round two, there's like, it's not a great chance, but they could realistically make the conference finals.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if I'm on the Cavs, I'm really not looking forward to a series against the Wizards in round two. That's brutal. That team's good.
They are good. The one thing from that game, though, it was like, they hit everything, and John Wall hit a ridiculous amount of shots from outside of the paint. And to some extent, that was poor defense. To some extent, it's like, okay, well if you're going to give up a shot, it's that.
Yeah,
the Cavs were getting absolutely everything they wanted in that game. It was just whatever runs they did make. Just the Wizards had a counter, or when Tyronn Lue went with LeBron at center for too long, LeBron just had no interest in rebounding in those minutes, and they gave up chances. So while Washington is a really good team, I don't see them putting up kind of defensive resistance a lot of other teams can put up against the Cavs. So out of all the possible matchups, I don't have a huge problem with playing the Wizards.
Yeah, I have a thought experiment for you real quick. If there were no conferences and any team could play any team in the playoffs, would you rather play the Washington Wizards or the Utah Jazz in a playoff series?
The Wizards.
I think I would too, but I think it's closer than the records and point differentials would say.
I think the Jazz are a better team, and they are also more suited to disrupt what the Cavs want to do. Like, especially because the Cavs have less depth rebounding the ball. What Rudy Gobert and now I'm drawing a blank.
Derek Favors
can do. Yeah, what those guys can do on the glass, they're just a pain. Like, I think Utah is going to be a pain in the West. Like, Golden State playing them round two, assuming they get by the Clippers, that's going to be a brutal series. That's going to be like the Memphis matchups they've had in the past that have given them some trouble. Like, the Warriors are going to win it, but that's going to take something out of them. That's going to be a very frustrating team to play.
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see how these playoffs turn out, because the Warriors look like they've recaptured their invincible mojo. And
well, that's why we need to have Durant come back, so he can minimize Steph.
I really do think that's going to be the way you beat that team, is you trick them into going to Kevin Durant a lot, which is like the most brutal poison pill you can take. But like, I just don't think that if Steph's really rolling, they're beatable. Like if Steph's just lighting you up, it just feels impossible.
And that's kind of been the formula for teams this year, too. I mean, we only got to see one matchup between the Spurs and Warriors where it was actually their teams. But they put Kawhi Leonard on Draymond Green, and they put Danny Green on Steph, because they're like, okay, if you take away Draymond, that's going to take away a lot of easy shots for both Steph and Klay. And then if you make Steph work, that's really going to disrupt their offense. And just let Kevin do what Kevin's going to do, because we've talked about this before. It's great that Kawhi Leonard, like, honestly, Kawhi Leonard's probably the best wing defender since the hand check era. Like,
yeah,
I think he is that good. But even if you stick him on Durant or LeBron, those guys are still putting up 30 points per game, probably on over 50% shooting. Like, at some point, that's just a waste of energy.
Yeah,
because those guys just do that. Like, they are that good. They're going to hit tough contested shots. So yeah, if you can take away kind of the heart and the engine of the team in Draymond Green, I think that's the better way to go.
Yeah, I agree. On an unrelated note, nobody makes taking layups look quite like they've never taken a layup before, like DeAndre Liggins. He just went up for this reverse, and it was like a caveman first discovering a basketball. It was
that kind of feels like Shumpert when he dribbles too.
Oh, yeah,
to be
yeah,
fair.
Yeah. How can you do something for so long and not get any better at it? It's jarring, especially with how quick his hands are on defense.
Ask Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah. Well, Jesus. Yeah, it's basketball. We've been driving the Michael Carter Williams isn't good train, I think, longer than almost anyone else.
I was looking at it on Twitter the other day, because I was talking to Andy Bailey and a couple other guys. They're like, oh, who saw that coming with Michael Carter Williams? And I did a search of like my handle and his name, and it was like 4 months into his rookie campaign, and I was yelling, the Sixers should sell high. I'm like, they should trade him for a draft pick.
And if anyone listening thinks, guys, quit patting yourselves on the back, you have to understand that we are wrong so often and so aggressively that
we gotta
pump ourselves up.
Yeah, if I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to be loud wrong, and I can admit when I'm wrong. But that was one moment in time that I'm like, I just know I'm right about this.
Yeah. God, the day...
and I'm going to be obnoxious.
The day Brandon Ingram figures it out will be the worst day in my Twitter career, because I have been ruthless to an 18-year-old. And that's...
Honestly, how bad is this rookie class, though?
It might be the worst one I've ever seen. I think it might be worse than the Anthony Bennett class, and that class is terrible.
That class is bad, but like even then, you got guys like Rudy Gobert and Giannis. Like,
yeah,
I think
sleepers that or deep picks that panned out.
This might be the worst since the Mike Miller Rookie of the Year draft.
Yeah, well, Dario Saric is about to win Rookie of the Year after being so aggressively mediocre almost the first 2/3 of the season.
Or Malcolm Brogdon.
Malcolm, I'm 30 years old, Brogdon. Did you know that?
He's honestly like 7 months younger than Kyrie. Like, that's it.
Did you know that they call him the president because he's actually old enough to run for president in this country?
Him and Thon Maker must have so many great stories about playing with Dr. Naismith.
Yeah, getting their first color TV, Oh, it's great. I'm happy.
The stories they could tell. The stories they could tell.
Yeah, Richard Jefferson talks about being their rookie. getting their bags.
Maybe that's why the Bucks are kind of having this successful second half of the season. They have so much veteran leadership.
Yeah, they're liars. they're actually one of the oldest teams in the league, and they're conning us.
I like it though. Like that's a team I like, and the fact that they're Giannis a bunch of scammers actually, makes it better.
Yeah, Giannis is actually 3 years old, as he was created in a lab. He is a mutant.
Man, it's going to be annoying when they're good.
Yeah,
when they're really good.
Yeah, we were saying on GChat fairly recently that this is the only, and thank God it's a Cavs podcast, so none of you other assholes are going to listen. But total first world problem of being a fan of a title contending team is that you don't get to just have pure joy and other team success anymore, because now you have
to analyze them.
It's like, oh man, they're coming, and they're going to beat the Cavs 5 years from now, and it's going to be frustrating. I'm going to hate them. So you don't get a lot of pure basketball joy anymore. The only teams I can really look forward to their future are Western Conference teams the Wolves that are 10 games under 500. Because they won't ever be a threat to this version of the
game. No, and if they do make the finals, it's okay, well, that's a lucky break, because that Warriors team probably should be in the finals for the next 6 or 7 years. Honestly, I think the Cavs have kind of killed me on the inside, though. I don't think I can have joy. It's funny because I'm trying to figure out.
Because last year was so fun?
Well, or yes, that sucks too. Well, I mean, winning the championship does kind of take some pressure off, because it's now March struggles aren't making me question whether or not LeBron is going to have another ringless era in Cleveland. That is out of the way, so that pressure is off. Now, I also have to think, this team really struggled the last 2 years down the stretch, and things were good. So that's good. But then I also have to weigh, this looks worse than it has been in the past. And then whenever they have a great game, it's still kind of apathetic. I don't know how to feel with this team.
They're just
positively or negatively.
Man. Yeah, they're just impossible. It's you want to be.
They turn me into a basketball nihilist.
Yeah, well, you want to be just invested. And try to analyze this team from the perspective of being a sports, being a blogger, and just liking the team. But they just make it so damn impossible, because they just don't run the same way anyone else does. No one is so apathetic as this team.
Since
2000 Lakers, right? Not since Shaquille O'Neal.
Pretty much. If they win the championship this season, they're going to be at risk of missing the playoffs next year.
Yeah, they're gonna rest LeBron the first 41 games. It's gonna be crazy. And I don't know. To some extent, would this be Chris Manning of Fear of the Sword and Locked On Cavs asked me this. Would this be if they win the title this year, is this the greatest switch flip ever?
I mean, it kind of has to be. No team has won with as bad of a defense as the Cavs have in the regular season. Their record isn't great.
Their point differential is plummeting.
Yeah. They're doing whatever they can to drive it down. And it's going to make me really annoyed when they do this, but I know that they are going to do this, because they are, as we've brought up before, a corny team. They are going to bring up nobody believes in us. They're going to talk themselves into being an underdog.
Well, that's good, because that's where they thrive, is when they put themselves into a corner. David Griffin talks about it all the time. But it'll be interesting to see what their top speed is once they kick into gear.
Yeah, and that's the other tough part about analyzing this team, is when you're breaking down matchups, you talk about, what defensive strengths one team has, what offensive strengths another team has. But once you get to playoff LeBron, it's how much can you realistically put on that? Like, you can say, okay, playoff LeBron can help you overcome whatever shortcomings you have. But then you see what he does, and it's like, okay, that doesn't seem humanly possible. And if I would have predicted he did that before the season, or before the series, rather, I'm going to sound like the biggest homer on the planet. So it's so hard to discuss LeBron like a normal human being. And that's what makes the potential switch being flipped with this team so tough to kind of gauge on how meaningful it's going to be.
Yeah, it's just, I just think they're going to befuddle us forever. And we're, this is our, like, this is our penance for a title. Is that we're just going to be vaguely confused and frustrated a lot. But, you know, I guess, you know, when you talk about, like, how much to panic, like, I don't know, like, what makes you panic? They won a title last year.
Like
if they
spiders.
Don't, yeah, if they don't win a title this year, I guess that doesn't make me panic.
No, they won one.
Yeah, they
like,
won one.
I'm going to be bummed out.
Like, I'll that's be sad. It, right? And, like, I'll want LeBron to win one if they don't win. I think there's maybe some cause for concern if they don't make the finals, but I just don't think they're not going to make the finals.
Would be upsetting. Like, if they don't make the finals, that is this team underachieving. Like, that's the other part of this, is especially Durant, kind of, he's looking pretty good. He's going to have a return prior to the playoffs, they're saying. Like, if the Warriors are healthy, the Cavs are once again an underdog. So if this team was kind of an overwhelming favorite, then their struggles right now would be concerning, because it's like, okay, they should be a lot better than they are. But because this is a team that seems to only play well when they absolutely have to, and really thrive once they're faced with adversity, and they're already an underdog if they're at 100%, that combined with the title last season really does take a lot of pressure. So in terms of panic meter, like, it's really not high for me, and I'm, as I said, just dead inside.
Yeah, it's weird. Once again, I don't know if we're really saying anything new at this point. It's just like, yeah, they're just weird, and like, there's been a combination, a really weird, a bad combination of that. They haven't been healthy. They have had players coming out of rhythm and not playing their best, and they don't try hard. Like, it's really hard to overcome that.
And that's just such,
like, it's not like everything's great, but they also just don't try hard. There's like a lot of issues, a lot of lingering issues. They're trying to integrate a bunch of new players. They're trying to get healthy. JR is trying to get himself back out of this horrific slump he's had all year.
Plus, they're also trying to make sure they don't give anything away out of their secret defensive plans that must remain hidden.
Yeah, once again, I said this on Twitter, so I'm going to be a piece of shit, do that thing that people hate. But it's like when Will Arnett did his guest spot interviewing for the manager job in The Office, and he said that he had a plan to triple the company's profits within 2 years. And they asked for the plan. He's like, well, I can't just give you the plan. But I have one. You have to trust me that I have one.
America just elected a guy using that strategy. So maybe that's what works now.
Yeah, no kidding. What a world. What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive. But you know what? Honestly, I think it's kind of healthy to say, I don't know what's going to happen. Like,
yeah,
everybody really seems to want to act like they know definitively what's going to go on. And sometimes it's okay to say, all right, this is what's happened in the past. This is what this team typically does. Here are some valid reasons, as you mentioned, lack of continuity, guys getting back from injuries. Even against the Spurs, you have Korver and Shumpert out. Like, there's a lot of changes in the lineup consistently, so there are some valid reasons there. But at the same time, there's also valid reasons to be concerned, and maybe that means it's not going to be as smooth of a ride to the finals. Maybe that means the ultimate disappointment, and they go out way sooner than anybody would have predicted. I don't know, but...
Yeah, we don't know anything, and nobody does. I would love to know...
LeVar knows.
I would love to know the gambling records of these people that make such definitive statements about, you know, like, oh, this team isn't going to do anything. This isn't going to... Like, man, if you are this damn confident, you should either be a millionaire or homeless.
The Boston Celtics aren't going to do anything.
They might. I don't think they will either. But they could. They could get hot. We just don't know. Like, all we have...
I know.
Is a bit of information to make some wild, typically inaccurate guesses.
Mm-hmm. But so, as I said, if I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to be loud wrong, and the Boston point. Celtics aren't doing anything this year.
Well, this podcast is nothing if not a pair of Celtics haters. So I guess that's just a lot we're going to deal with. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if they figure it out. I'll be worried if they lose a couple first-round playoff games. Fair?
Yeah, that especially if it's against Atlanta.
Yeah, if they're losing, because
if they're losing against Atlanta, then they might as well go
trade LeBron. Trade LeBron for Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley.
That's a lot for Ainge to give up.
Yeah, just two. Yeah, it is too a lot for Ainge to give up. But man, we just need 3-and-D guys, you know. God, people are dumb. I'm sorry. Actually, could we trade them for Marcus Morris and Ersan Ilyasova? Can we get Ilyasova back on the Pistons so we could trade a LeBron James for them?
You're still pretty triggered from that, aren't you?
Always, because smart people told me that was okay, and it was never okay.
It was never all right.
To be clear, this is with regards to a trade for Kevin Love, not LeBron James. But
no, because
I'm fundamentally broke LeBron. At this point.
I can confirm that. So with the Spurs game, if you want to call it that, concluding, there's really only one more meaningful game left, because the Cavs do play the Raptors on the last night of the season. There's zero chance any Cavs players are playing in that game. Like, it's just not happening. So that leaves the matchup against the Celtics, which very well could decide who gets the number one seed. I don't really know what to expect, because obviously that's going to be a really big game for Boston. They're going to come out motivated. They won the last game. It really does feel sometimes, and I mean, the team has come out and said it, that the Cavs do hold stuff back for the playoffs. Like, we saw it last year that they were executing completely different schemes come playoffs, and with a possible matchup against the Celtics coming up, do you think that they're going to kind of hold back once again and not give anything away, or are they just going to come out and try to run some of the new stuff and kind of showcase what they can do in a fairly big game?
I think they'll work hard but run vanilla sets. I don't think they're going to show anything new, put anything new on tape, but I do think they're going to try to win. I don't know. The Celtics make everyone play hard because they annoy the shit out of them, and then they start wanting to play hard on them.
Yeah, especially with the Celtics winning the last matchup too. They're always so mouthy. Like, win or lose, they're always going to be mouthy.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's some added motivation there from a Cavs perspective.
So I think they'll try, but I don't think they're busting the glass on any new strategies. It's crazy. We only have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 games left in the regular season.
You counting is really great audio.
Well, you know, I didn't. I had the number. Then you made a point, and I was being a good listener. And then I
no, you're just trying to show off your math skills.
No, that is not what I was doing. But yeah, it's 9 games left to figure it out, and they're probably going to rest like 4 of those games. So they really don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, That's the other thing. Like, if this was happening around the All-Star break, it's like, okay, they got the last third of the season here to kind of experiment and work things out.
Yeah, like in January, we're like, ah, it's fine. It's fine.
They're going to be coming in blind, basically, to the playoffs, and it's going to make for some really interesting games. And when you look at the Cavs kind of being, let's call it interesting, heading into the playoffs, you got the Warriors that are going to have to try to reintegrate Durant. We don't know how limited he's going to be. It's going to make the playoffs a lot more interesting, especially in the early rounds.
Yeah, it's going
to
be compelling.
A lot of people anticipate it.
I'll be interested to see how Vegas handicaps these playoffs. If the Cavs will be like a prohibitive favorite in their eyes.
Yeah, I think it's really going to depend on the matchups, especially with cities where, like, Washington and Boston, like, not necessarily Washington, but Boston for sure, like, they have a lot of people that are going to bet Celtics no matter what. So that's going to influence the line a bit, but it is going to be very interesting to see kind of how Vegas approaches that, because in all likelihood, the Cavs aren't going to really show much before the regular season is over. I mean, yeah. As you said, they're probably going to rest guys. So
yeah, they're also a super public team, so Vegas will probably make them prohibitive favorites anyway. Just
yeah,
to,
that's true.
But I would just will be interested to see if they're to see how it compares to last year, where they were like no doubter going to the finals by Vegas standards, and have it just this year.
Well. All right, because I like you being wrong and rubbing it in your face, I'm going to give you the opportunity to be wrong one more time.
Hey.
With 9 games left, how many of those do the Cavs win?
Let's see. They'll lose to Chicago on Thursday.
God.
On TNT in Chicago.
Yeah, that's always a loss.
That will be the quit on the team game from the fan base. They'll beat Philly at home. They'll beat Indiana at home. They'll beat Orlando at home. They'll lose at Boston because, of course, they freaking will. They'll go 1-1 against Atlanta. They'll lose at Miami, and they'll win in Toronto. They're winning 5 games, I think.
I don't see them beating Toronto because they're going to rest everyone. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, they'll rest that one.
It's kind of amazing that...
Are they going to win 50 games?
Oh, my God. They might not win 50 games.
They're at 47 right now.
Oh, boy. That's amazing. It's kind of...
And Shops was out here making fun of me all summer for saying they might ghost.
Hey, we made fun of ESPN for saying the Cavs would struggle by playing Kyrie instead of Dele.
And here they are.
Who gets the last laugh?
Not ESPN for that.
It's kind of amazing that this team hasn't had a players-only meeting at this point.
Yeah.
Like, that's like their signature move.
Yeah. Oh, well. It's fine.
That's like the Iron Fist being bad.
Yeah. Nerd.
It's kind of just something that happens.
Comic book shows that you nerds watch.
No, you just count out loud.
Yeah, I just count out loud.
Like a nerd.
No, that's like a moron, actually. If you're gonna insult,
we're both morons. It's our signature style. It's what we're known for. Just like the Cavs are known for their struggles and
inconsistent effort.
Lackadaisical approach to the regular season, but
you know, actually, hopefully... I just said insignificant like inconsistent effort. It's very consistent. That's improv.
It's tremendously consistent.
Anyway, fun pod.
Yeah,
warm skies. Right, you know, it's gonna be better in the future, I guess. But right now, it's not too fun. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's
hopefully hearing us bullshit and makes it a little bit easier.
But yeah, exactly.
They'll probably be fine. That's the really like the nice relaxing thing is they'll probably be fine. They'll probably make the finals. And
at the same time, it would be very boring to talk about a team that's just rolling right now. Like, it's...
I don't know about you,
man. They're giving us
I love a good blowout. I love it.
Phrasing.
Jesus Christ, Justin. That's enough for this one, I think.
That's the perfect note to end this on, so... Carter, thanks again for joining me. To all our listeners, we really appreciate all the feedback that you guys gave us after the first episode. It was definitely noticed, and we're really happy to hear that it is going over well. Just a reminder that you can subscribe to us on iTunes to make sure that you aren't missing out on any of the podcasts. You can also listen to us on Wednesdays on Dash Radio. We will have more information out on that. But however you find us, we hope you enjoy it. And as always, go Cavs.